I gotta say, I was tempted to prank these guys who weren't gonna dance today and call them up right now and do it anyway. Decided not to pay attention, so it didn't matter. So it's Father's Day. I'm a single father. You got that little guy back there. And today's the day that I'm supposed to talk about what it's like to be a parent. To tell you the truth, parenting, I spent a lot of time looking back at my own childhood. I look back at how my dad handled situations, how he handled problems, how he dealt with whatever I could do. I don't know how many of you knew me as a kid. For those of you who do, I am so sorry. I was kind of rambunctious. I was not exactly your model child. I was much worse than my own child by far. I don't know how my dad kept up with me, but he ended up having to basically be in the same position that I'm in. For the last part of my time with him, I was with him as a single father. He was a single father for me, pretty much, for all intents and purposes. And, you know, like he mentioned earlier, there was that time where he says, you know, I'm going to pray for you, da-da-da-da-da. And then he comes back, and I made him pray for real, the penetrating prayer. Things like that I look back on when I'm stuck and don't know what to do. The point of that, looking back, is that now as a father, I have to keep that in mind. I have to keep in mind that what I do, the choices I make, are surely going to affect my son, but they're going to continue down the road. They're going to continue beyond his generation to his kids, my grandkids eventually, and so forth. There's some generational curses that can be passed on the same way, but you can pass on blessings as well. How you react to problems, how you problem solve, how you deal with stress and joy is perceived by the hearing children. They pick it up. They pick up every little bit of that. It isn't just the things that you consciously try to instill in their head. It's all the stuff in between that they pick up. One of the most important things, at least in my life, and it was when I was a child looking back, was how my father helped to display and explain to me the character of Christ and who God actually is. There was a time, I remember it, a long time ago, where my father says to me, and it was just something in Scripture, straight out of Scripture, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I never really understood what that meant at the time. Looking back at it, at all the time in between then and now, I totally get it. He was modeling the character of Christ. He was modeling who God is to me as a father. And that went a long way, that having that basic understanding. Sure, we're all human. We all make mistakes, and we all do it, but we are Christians, and Christians itself means to be Christ-like. And as a parent, that's the best thing you can do. If you can try your best to model the character of Christ to your children, if you can try to live out Scripture and display it with your daily behavior, it's the best gift you could ever give your kids, because it's going to go beyond your kids, it's going to go throughout your line, further and further. And my grandson, or his grandson, is perfect proof of that. I don't know what I'm doing as a parent at all. I'm up here to talk about parenting. I don't know. I just look back at what my dad did and try to emulate that the very best I can. Amen. That's pretty much all I have to say.
That was real good. You said just what I wrote for you. Thank you. Even without glasses, he read that pretty good. I just want you to touch whatever comes to your mind about being a single parent, having with in a situation where you are the only parent.
That's real hard, whether you're a man or a woman. Being a single parent means that you have twice the load. You have twice the responsibility, you have twice the burden, and you have half the help, which is hard. My heart goes out to all single parents, fathers or mothers, because you don't have, I'm blessed, I have father living with me and friends and good family, and I have his other side, his mom's family really gets involved with him too. I guess the best thing I can say for single parents is find a support network. Find people that are willing to invest in your life and your children's lives, because you can't do it alone. No matter how strong you are, no matter what you think about yourself or your abilities, you still need help. And sometimes that's another good example to set for people, for your kids or for whatnot, is the ability to give and accept help.
And what do you think about the church for, we have, Eli has like, what, 25 mothers here in this church?
It's good, I don't know what to think about it. I'm not going to argue.
Thank you. So many thoughts. Thank you, Taylor, that's good. A born speaker, I got to get him up and running. He's not just a speaker, but he has a heart for the Lord and a great touch on his life. Still remember in Seattle when he went in the Navy, we had to go to a little swear-in ceremony. Remember that, Taylor? And I drug him in there. He put his hand up and swore whatever they told you to swear. And there was a door like over here. And so after they inducted themselves, is that what it's called? I don't know what it was called. I will defend the country and blah, 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 blah. And so help me God. They grab him and they take him right through the door and shut the door. And that's it. So Taylor couldn't change his mind. You know what I'm saying? When you do that, they hustle him to a van or something. He's on a plane to Chicago. So delighted. And the other night we had a meeting and Taylor was talking about the joy of having a purpose, not just hanging out, going to church, but the joy of having a purpose. And he has a heart for this fellowship. He does appreciate each and every mother, even as Eli does. And as he wanders from cookie to cookie, I should have a chart there so that each one of you signs off when you see him with a cookie. So sometimes those trips back to Great Falls or something else. We are also blessed to have Donna Marchington with us today. And you know that she's a professional behavioral therapist. Is that close?
You're close.
Professional something. Behavioral something. She'll explain to you what she's a professional at. All I know is that she has been equipped by the Lord to speak words into our life that strengthen us. God has gone a second level with the lives of many people, not only in the spirit, but in particular training. And we here at Belt Community Church and others stand in a position to receive that and benefit by that. So, would you welcome, please, Donna.
Wondering just as much as I am as if why I am speaking on Father's Day. And I went back to Martin a couple of times, and kind of in a way, not to be honest, was trying to get myself out of this talk. When he said, no, I want you to take it to the professional level. So my actual professional title is a licensed clinical professional counselor.
That's what I said.
Yeah, you're right. In so many words. What that means is that basically is that you can call me a counselor, you can call me a therapist. So that has been my professional role for many, many years. So before I begin to talk about, and first let me start off with Happy Father's Day, is to explain to you that I'm not just up here just talking to talk, but I've actually experienced it through my professional work. I have worked with abused children and adults, physically, sexually, and emotionally, and psychologically damaged people. I have worked with children who have been abandoned by their parents and severely neglected by their parents. Reactive attachment disorder is a child who has born and has been put in a car seat and propped with a bottle and absolutely zero human touch. Then as this child grows, this child does not attach to humans because that bond has never been made, so they don't trust. So I've worked with children like that. I've also worked with family, one family in particular, who had done the right thing and had accepted a person who was down and out into their home, who then turned around, physically abused the entire family, father and mother included, and the children, and psychologically and physically took over their home for a year and a half until the gentleman has left. The horror stories that you see on TV, I have probably dealt with in one way or another, and have helped families either get back together. I've worked a lot of cases with DFS where children have been removed, and I have been gratefully, and thank God with his blessings, that I have been able to fight the system and actually put families back together. That being said, now you know I'm not just up here talking, that I have a wealth of experience in this field. So as I was looking and working on this, I wanted to do research, and then I was doing this, and I was doing that, and so I have this note, then I started again, then I typed it up, then I found all these things, and I found myself going in about 20 different directions. So this morning when I got up, it was like, okay, of the 5 different directions, 25 different directions, you need to pick one. So when I came in here, I was just like, Lord, you lead. Because I'm not going to be able to explain mental health to you in just a brief few minutes. It's impossible for me to do that. But what I can do is tell you how the father impacts the child. So that's where I started. So, and then I forgot my readers. Dale, will you grab me my readers? Good job, Taylor.
Something
in the water or whatever. So I went to, I just Googled, and after I thought about it, I thought I could read all this stuff to you, and then after I thought about it, I thought, why read it to you? Because you can Google the same thing I did and get the same information, and you can read it for yourself. So that being said, that's where that's at. So what I did was I read, I went into Psychology Today magazine that was online, and the only thing I Googled was the father's role. And I was just curious to know what was out there on the internet that talked about what the father's role was. And the first thing that I read was Jeremiah 31:29 out of Psychology Today, of all things. And it said, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And when I read it, it was almost kind of like, what does that even mean? And that doesn't even sound nice, nor does it sound pretty. So as I looked into it and read that article a little further, what that meant was, centuries ago, the father had absolute authority over the family, meaning that his words were never questioned, his decision was final, that he led his family, and it was his duty in that role. But the caretaker was the mother. They did some research, and in 1970, they came up with the idea that, wow, we have really diminished that authority in the father and running his own household. That over time and over, because of technology, because of whatever, because of the differences in the gender, because of people having to work, the whole shift and the environment and the world, it shifted his role as well. Funny thought was, when I read, was that when we did parenting surveys to find out about how parents parented, 100% of them were answered by the mother. There was zero input by the father, which was wrong, which was totally wrong. So then they decided, okay, we've got to go back, we've got to look at this role again. So in the 70s, and since then, they have been moving forward, trying to bring in and trying to realize that the father's role is vitally important, and it is. So that being said, I'm going to take this one more step further. How the father impacts a youth begins at birth. That also goes for the mother. As soon as the baby is born, what do? They place it on the mother immediately. Thankfully, somebody realized, instead of having dad pacing the hallway, waiting for her to have that baby, they invited him in to that birth to have him be a part of, because if she has a C-section, mom can't hold the baby necessarily. What do? They hand it to the father. There's a bonding moment that happens instantly right there with that child, both mother and father. Now, take it a step further, go into their future. Okay, I can stand up here. I can have two babies, one on each side of me. I can have a girl on this side and a boy on this side. I can hand you this child. This is what we do when we have a baby in our hands. If it's a girl, isn't she precious? Isn't she so cute? She's so pretty. We're afraid to drop her. We hold her so gently because we think she's like fragile glass. Okay, now I'm going to hand to the boy. What do? All of a sudden we're bouncing him. Hey, big boy, you know. All of a sudden, okay, we start conditioning those children immediately. It has an impact. Another research that I read had stated that when a child is a toddler, the fathers are more likely to have play activity 90% more than the mother will. Huge impact. And where that impact comes in is when they're playing with those children and they're doing that aggressive play and they're playing with those kids and they're roughhousing with their play, what that means and what that's happening with that child is they're learning how to get rid of and how to deal with aggressive and physical energy in an appropriate manner. Women, we try to roughhouse, but we just don't do it as well as dads. Let's just admit it, okay? We're a little softer, we don't play as rough. But there are certain roles that the father plays that have an impact on their emotional stability and regulating emotion. Women, we are quick to react to emotion. It's built in us. Men may react emotionally at first, but we'll take that step back, take a deep breath, and say, okay, we need to handle this. There's the difference when they're dealing with their children. Working with families that I had worked with so many years, I worked with single mothers, single fathers, adopted parents, you name it. I had worked with just about all of it. And in any situation that had come up. One particular parent stands out to me, and his name was Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a 7-year-old girl. Her mother was a complete alcoholic and had been extremely abusive towards her daughter. One incident that I will share with you is she had asked the little girl during winter to go out and get the newspaper real quick. Don't worry about putting any snow boots or anything on, just run out there and get it. And she, as she was outside in just her nightgown, the mother had shut and locked the door and was laughing while she was standing outside. The parents had then divorced. Mom had custody of the child because for some reason people seemed to think that the mother being the caregiver is the best one to have custody of their children. And I am going to attest to you to saying that's not always necessarily the case. That sometimes the mother is possibly the worst person for to have custody of their children, just by experience. Well, Jeremiah has her, he's had her now for 2 or 3 years. I am working with him on trying to help him build some parenting skills because he has lost, here's a gentleman who's older and has a 7-year-old girl, has no idea what to do with her, doesn't know how to raise a girl. So I end up being the therapist, I end up working with him in the home, and I guess in a nutshell, I become a surrogate mom that shows up once a week or twice a week for 3-hour time limit. Over that time, Jeremiah would watch everything I did, watched how I spoke to his daughter. I would have to help him with just a simple showing her how to bathe. As time went on, he got better, he got more confident, and then he felt she was doing much better. I got a telephone call about 4 years later asking me if I would go back and see her again. Her mother had passed away, and she had felt guilty because she felt good when her mother had passed away. Since then, so I went and worked with her on that anger and that grief, but her father felt so reluctant and so lost because he didn't know how to help her. I was no longer their therapist professionally, but he knew how to get a hold of me and got a hold of me, and he did reach out and got the help that he needed. This girl is the most well-rounded, functionally professional child I have seen. I'm still in contact with her today. She is in her mid-20s now, and she's doing really well. Both parents now, Jeremiah had passed away about 3 years ago now. So she is an only child, so she is actually alone right now. But she's doing well. I think had her mother, or had she been raised by a woman, I think her storyline may have ended a little differently. Because she needed that emotional stability that comes from a father. Girls will have their first crushes on their fathers. Hmm. Boys have their first crushes on their mothers. Hmm. So, just know y'all had a little crush. Okay, when your kids came to you, that's when that relationship started. Then they watch. They watch you as a single parent, they watch you as a couple, whichever your case may be, but they watch how you interact with the opposite sex. And that's how they learn and how to interact. They watch that because that's what they're observing. Taylor said it best, you parent like you're parented. We don't know any different. Our kids did not come out with a manual. That would have been nice, that would have been a good thought. Okay. I react well to this, I don't react well to that. It would have been an awesome thing to have when they came out, but they don't. You have this kid, all of a sudden, doctor says, hey, great job, and sends you home, and here you have this human being you have to raise, and hope that you don't screw it up. In general, I mean, you really, that's only your only focus. The father's relationship with that child starts at birth, but it also is so genuinely tied to the emotional pieces of your kids that you have no idea. Even if it's not your child, love that child anyway, because they need that interaction. They need that stability. Well, not only emotionally, but behaviorally, kids do better with the father being present in the home or having some type of relationship with their child. Children who behave out in school, and I work at a school now, and so I see it constantly. I can tell you by their behavior which child has a father or a male who is an influence in their lives by how they react behaviorally. They're quick to anger. They don't stop and think. They have absolutely zero emotional regulation, none. It's just, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm this, I'm that, and it's instantaneous. And they act on it. Where a father then role comes in is that you show them how to deal with those emotions, how you deal with those behaviors, and you see less of them when the father figure is involved. Children who have fathers present also do well socially. They are socially more accepting. They're socially more option to try different things. They see different things out in the world. They're more curious. One of the books that I read was called The Mindset by Carol Dweck. And she couldn't have said it any better in two phrases. You either have a growth mindset or you have rock brain. And I love the rock brain. I giggled to when I read it. I was just like, okay, I can get a t-shirt with that one. But what she's saying here is with the father's influence, a child will have a growth mindset. Because men are curious. So as little boys are outside, they're curious. They want to know how things work. So they're taking things apart and putting them back together. They're doing this, they're doing that. Women are watching mom learn how to cook, and we're just hoping the cake doesn't fall. We're hoping this doesn't happen. We're hoping, you know, we don't burn something. Iron Dad shirt and leave the iron mark on there. So there's a difference in just how they are perceived. But with men's influence, the mindset of a child is a growth mindset, meaning they want more. They're willing to learn. They're willing to go out and do more. They're more socially accepting. They're more people accepting. They're just better socially. Rock brain is they know it all. They're always right. You're not going to change my mind. nope, this is the way I've done it. I've always done it this way. This is the way I'll always do it. And there is no other way. It's a one-track train. And that train just keeps going east or west, but it just keeps going. It never lands anywhere, and it doesn't grow. It just goes. So that's the impact of a father. I know from personal experience that I had been raised with two parents. Our growing up years were different because we were raised military. But when it came to that final authority and that final decision, it stated that it had disappeared, but it never disappeared and never went away. That final authority has always been there, because if it's in here, it had to stay, and it's true. So it was always there. So let me give you the perfect example. Mothers, you're with your children all day. You're trying to get the kids to clean their rooms, do their chores, mow the yard, do the dishes, vacuum, just anything. But you are working on this all day. You knew when you woke up that morning this was going to be a good day. The kids were going to listen. It was just going to be a calm day. Things were just going to roll, right? It was going to be an awesome, awesome day. But you've been fighting with them all day. Your hair's a mess. You're a disaster. You're not too sure if you want to drink more coffee or just go get a bottle of wine and just call it quits. But you don't. But then this is what happens. And I know these women can relate to this. Dad walks in that door. Hey, did your mom just tell you to do this? And what do the kids do? Run and go do it. Like, they have not heard that they were supposed to go do all these things 20 times by mom all day long. Am I right? Am I right? Okay. Nothing is more frustrating, men, than when you come in here and do that. Because, like, it's not like we haven't been trying all day. We have threatened your children with every breath of their lives and every inch of their bodies to get this stuff done. But when you walk in and you speak those words because you have the final authority, your word is not questioned. That's how important your role is. It never ended. It didn't diminish. It never went away. It's always been there. We just haven't honored you in that role as much as we used to. And that's something where we are so wrong in not doing. So, to end in conclusion, both parents are needed for certain reasons for children. If there are single parents, the Bible states that if there's a widow and she has children, that the church is to step up and to work with her, to help her. Okay? It's the same with single men. We're to step up and help them. I don't mind being Eli's mom. I can do a better job now because now I've got some practice. I can actually do it better this time around. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. But we need to honor each other's roles and know that our roles are different. But we impact children's lives on a daily basis, whether you're a therapist, whether you're the aunt, whether you're the uncle, the mom, the dad, the grandparent, or if you're a church member. We impact these children in such a major way that you have no idea how your reaction and interaction with them can make the world of difference. And so in that conclusion, be blessed, fathers. Thank you for all your hard work out there. Mothers, you too. Thank you.
What she just said. Anything? Good. What do you think?
I think she's right on.
Go ahead and stand and respond, Donna. Go ahead and just so that everybody.
I think a parent. Okay. I think she's right on everything you said. I think just. I mean, anybody who's had parents, you know, you're right. Your mother would tell you over and over and over. But boy, when Dad spoke, you moved. Because he was the final authority. The buck stopped there. It wasn't going any further. You know, so kudos. Excellent. Excellent.
Anybody else responding to what you've heard from either Taylor or Don?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that, honey. Come on up. Come up. I can't see you. You're too short. And I want you to speak. If you're going to be in this family. Go ahead.
I think he's absolutely right. I have personal experience because I am a child.
Does it ever get clean?
Yes. No.
Thank you. Thank you. How many adults in the room today have a room that needs to be cleaned? A garage that needs to be cleaned? Well, this is my first Father's Day without my father. But this is his stick. It's a strange thing. Long after the guy's gone to heaven, the stick remains.
Yes.
My dad had several sticks. A couple of them I don't want to talk about. He had Parkinson's, as you know, and at, near the end he would have to walk with a stick and he'd get going downhill, and this, just something else. But I appreciate everything that was said, and I appreciate my own father. You appreciate your father's, Renee's first. I know her father and my father passed away about a month apart. Nadine, we were talking about her. Was it your mother we were talking about earlier this morning? I miss my dad. I don't miss being on the running game with a stick. I don't miss that at all. Just a scary thing, Tater. Tater looks a lot like his mother and his grandfather, so that's good for you, son. I walk by, how many of you look like your parents? I do. I walk by the mirror and I have to stop. Really, if I want to see my dad, and it's kind of spooky, genetically and all that stuff, I don't get, but I know it's true. If I stop and look and stand in that mirror and look right at myself, I see my dad looking at me. I'm not trying to be spooky or anything. I'm saying I look that much like him. Sound and voice is similar. And I hope, and I know you do for your life too, that we look like our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We sound like our Heavenly Father. We live like our Heavenly Father. I don't know. All of our fathers are different. Some are jolly. Some are stern like my dad was. Some are this, some are that. But in the wonderful thing to be a believer is that we're passed off to our Heavenly Father. And as Donna said, His Word instructs us and fills us and changes us to where we ought to. We will still be seen. There's still going to be flesh in you until either Christ comes or you're gone. So there'll still be earthliness in, but I pray that more and more of the Heavenly Father is seen in me, and I'm sure that you join that prayer.